Psalm 18. Mm-hmm. 18. Let me know when you find it. Thank you, Father, for your word. That's good. Found it? Ready? It says, I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock, in whom I find protection. He is my shield and the power that saves me and my place of safety. I don't know, anybody has the new King James? It says here, this verse says, he's my shield and the horn of my salvation. you know, these verses you need to underline in your Bible, and this week I'll encourage you to read them and just point out the words, underline. It's like, the Lord, I love you, Lord. You're my strength. Anybody here need strength to carry on? Oh, I do. You see, I love you, Lord. You're my strength. Anybody here is in a situation where you need strength? And or everyday work situation is just like coming at you. The word of the Lord says, David knew what he was talking about. He said, Lord, you're my strength. The Lord is my rock. You know, those who build their homes on the rock don't have to be afraid when the ground's shaking, right? So we build our life on the solid rock. Jesus Christ is our rock. Fortress. What about fortresses? Man. You know, we've got some fortresses in some places in Virginia, right? Do we? Beautiful stuff. You build a fortress to protect yourself from the enemy. It says, the Lord is my fortress and my Savior. God is my rock in whom I find protection. My shield. How about that? A shield. You see, God is not, you know, I hear people, I'm gonna tell you guys, you know, I think it comes by just by habit, but don't pray, Lord, build a hedge of protection around me. No, a hedge, that's not solid enough. You know? Lord, I thank you for the fortress that's around me. I thank you that you are my fortress. I thank you that you build a wall, a block, like a solid stone wall around this person or this situation. You know, of course, you know, there's a place in the Bible, it says, you know, it says the Lord's like a hedge, something like that. But literally, I want more than a hedge. And the Lord is more than a hedge for us. He's our wall. He's our rock. He's my shield and the horn of my salvation. Oh, I love that. And my place of safety. Verse 3. I call on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. So go again to your Proverbs chapter 1. Thank you, Father, for your word. Proverbs 1. Yes, Lord. Proverbs chapter 1. Find it? Verse 33. It says, but all who listens to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm. This is the word of the Lord. God saying, all who listen. You know, when you guys understand, sometimes I told you, some of us, we might hear, but you might not understand. In the word listening, you find understanding. So I hear and I know what you're saying. Here, the word listen is from, I didn't look it up, but it's the meaning right here from the Greek is, I hear and I comprehend. Not only that, I hear and I comprehend, but I also knows how to apply it. This is what God's saying here. Those who hear my word, comprehend my word, apply it in their lives, will live in peace. And then Jesus came under the new contract. He's like, I am the peace, the Prince of Peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but what do I give? I give you my peace. I don't give you peace like the world gives it. Untroubled by fear of harm. Untroubled. Untroubled. You know, this week I had to repent again from being, I had a mindset of operating. All of a sudden, I almost went to, you know the stage where you start operating in fear. Just like, you know, the price of everything going up. We're all facing it, right? Price of everything going up. And you see it, right? You feel, not only you see it, but you feel it. All of us are, it's costing you double to fill up your cars. I mean, at the grocery stores, everything is expensive. And then you know what's going to happen? If you're not in faith, if you don't build your life on the word of the Lord, you're going to panic. And then you're going to operate in faith. You won't be doing the things you ought to do. Don't do the thing you want to do. Well, especially right now, most of us might not be able to do the things we want to do financially. But God will always provide for the things you have to do. You got to go to work. It says the just will live by faith. It's by faith, brother, sister. It is by faith. You know, and last week I told you, Jesus asked the disciples, he's like, man, by the time I return, will I find faith? Will people have faith? I said, Lord, help my unbelief. I trust you, God. Let's go to Revelations. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation is like the last book in the Bible. Revelation chapter 4. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Verse 11. You know, we talk, and I encourage you guys, if you still have question about if God is in control, to continue to talk. But we all know God is in control. There's no doubt about that. But we also know that God is not in control of my personal action. God is not like over my shoulder and telling me to go left or right. No, he gives me the free will to do the things that would please him. Verse 11, Revelation chapter 4. It says, you are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please. This verse is telling us God is in control. You know, last week, in the past 2 weeks, I talked about, oh, will you be ready? It's a question. I can't answer that question for you. When harder time comes, will you be ready? Don't wait for when harder time comes. You should know right now where you stand. You know, I also had a lot of questions. When we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and even in John, we understand some of the end time events are, you know, some of those things are happening right now. But us Christians, I'll say kingdom citizens, we should be in prayer, praying, serving, and seeking as the end time is right here, right now. And as a matter of fact, we don't have tomorrow. I'm gonna never stop telling you this. I read in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, we know that God causes everything to work together for those who love God. So God causes whatever situation you go in your life or that comes your way, he uses it for the good of those who love him. Now, there's another question when you look at this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. What does it mean to love God? And I know, if not most of you, you're waiting for me to give you an answer. But it is a genuine question I'm asking you. From your perspective or from your life, your personal relationship with the Lord, what does it mean to you to love God? Give me an answer. Sacrifice, that's good.
Taking your cross up every
day. That's really good. But
standing your ground,
that's good. Somebody else. Come on, Roxy, that's a good one. If Jesus says, if you love me, you obey. So it's not religion. Somebody else. Spending, oh, yes, that's a good one. So I say, I love you, Lord. Remember Psalm 18, verse 1. It started with, oh, I love you, Lord. See, if I tell my wife I love her, oh, she knows I love her, but I don't do things to show her that I love her. I could be telling her I love her today till the end of my life. She'll never believe it. Because love is action. Love is action. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him. What does it mean for me to love God? I want three more answers. Somebody else. To you, what does it mean to love God? Oh, being devoted. Oh, man. And you guys are helping me. That's so good. Acts chapter 2, it says, the disciples, they devote themselves into the teaching of the word. They devote themselves in fellowship. So I love God. Guess what? Well, I need fellowship. Don't let the enemy nor the busyness of life keep you away from fellowship. Don't live the Christian life by yourself. Find a community. And the church, the kingdom of God, is family. It's a community. I need two more. Oh, man, thank you. You cannot say you love God and treat people like garbage. It's impossible. It doesn't work. Come on, man. That's right. You hear, Kathy? We're changing that side. You cannot say you love God. That's actually a good one. You cannot love God or say you love God and be so rude to people. Rude to people at work. Judge people. How many times I told you people don't want anything to do with the church because we have fallen from loving people. We judge them. Now, there's a difference between tolerance and acceptance. You know that. Maybe you do the research at home in your study this week. What's the difference between tolerance and acceptance? Ah, man, don't you love God's word? I need one more. Spending time with him, that's good. Okay, that's good. Yeah, that sums it up right there. Do you love me? Okay, so in that case, if God called, like say, for God was making his calling in Peter's life so clear. It's like, Peter, if you say you love me, you got to take care of my people as a shepherd. That's good. Bernie. Take care of the widows and the orphans, the refugees. Help people. And the babies. See, there's a lot of stuff we could say here. The rest of the verse says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many others, brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. And having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. Wow. So if you love me, Jesus said, you will obey my commandment. And this morning, I challenge you again. Don't do lip service. Love God with all you have. And when I say love God with all you have, you all know what I mean. Because you just told me what it means to love God. You just told me what it means to love God. Guys, Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a pure bride. Will you be ready? Don't let the worries of this life just bust your spiritual appetite. What's the verse I read last week? Do not be naive. People are allergic to God. Zeal. Put zeal in serving. Serve God with zeal. So if God is God in control? Yes, God is in control. A life that is yielding to the lordship of God will be guiding by God. Now, you don't have to look for it. Maybe you can write it down, but I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. It says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 19, 21. Yeah, we do have plans. But I tell you, the Lord directs our steps. Psalm 22, verse 28. It says, for dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. So yes, God sees what's happening on this earth. Corruption is man's invention, right? 100% war, bad things that are happening in this world, in our country, in our community. It's not God's fault. Because God gave dominion, authority to men to rule the earth. I heard a couple years back, they said, man, you know, back in the days, if it would be like women that would rule the world, most countries would ignore each other. Something like that. Because they say, most generally speaking, women, if they have something, they just kind of give it up. Not generally speaking, that's what they said. Not everybody's like that. But men, they like to dominate. They like war. They like to take over. Guys, we beg God for mercy to touch the heart of our leaders. And I'm not talking about leaders in America, but I'm talking about leaders in the world. You know how sad it is for Christians to be calling for death over Putin? We should pray for repentance. Or even if you think it, don't say it. Especially on social media. I don't get it. Some of those things, keep them for yourself. Now you stand for justice. See, I see Christians on social media, I mean, just like going out for it. On things that really would be their personal conviction. But when it comes to sin, stand up for justice. But to call out death in public, even over our president, you know, sometimes people are like, well, I mean, we wish that he would die. You can't say that. I pray that the Lord would touch his heart. I pray that they would be delivered from the spirit of death. Because God says, judgment is mine. Judgment is mine. So we can't try to take judgment on our hands. Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23. Lord, I know that people's life are not their own. It's not for them to direct their steps. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, well, let me tell you this, ask you this. Would your worries change your situation? Oh, man, we worry so bad. We can't sleep. You know, the time for your hair to turn gray, when it comes, It doesn't matter how many times you color it. See, I'm getting bald, all right? I really don't like a bald head, but I think dens do good. But I'm saying I don't like myself being bald. I should say it that way. But it doesn't matter what I do. I will eventually be bald. Because all my cousins are bald. Both of my grandpas were bald. Some of my brothers don't have hair up there. It's all smooth already. So why should I just sit around and worry, man? You know, it's like then that start messing with my identity. You with me? And then I'm going to start to dislike myself. Don't do that. That's why I love God's word. Isaiah 35 verse 4. I know you guys can write those and read them this week. It said, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. Come on now. When I read this verse, I'm like, okay, Father, I'm chilling. I'm going to chill. Because even right now, if we have, you know, Putin doing what he's doing, that's so unjust. Did you see this week there was a hospital that got bombed? I mean, and I'm like, how come the world is sitting around watching this happening? I understand an army fighting against an army. Okay, all right, you deal with your stuff. But to bomb a hospital when pregnant women are giving birth to children, that's not right. So what do? We pray. We ask God, we pray, we serve, we ask, we intercede, we ask God to intervene. You don't use social media to just vent yourself. Especially texts. People will interpret and give it its own, their own tones, right? Wow, Isaiah 35, verse 4. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. I encourage you, put God's word in your life, in your heart, in your mind. Because now more than ever, people need to hear from the Lord. They need to hear from the word. Because when I read this, I'm like, okay, God, vengeance is yours. So vengeance is coming. Vengeance is coming. People that are killing the babies, in, you know, abortion and stuff, unless they repent. Vengeance is coming. So what do? I don't pray. I don't call for death over them. Death. No. God will judge them. I pray for repentance. Exodus 33 verse 14 says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. How many people here needs rest? Oh, I do. You know what rest is? You cease striving. And I pray when you sleep at night that you will be able to rest. I pray that for all of us when you sleep. But you know, also there are certain things you should do to contribute to a restful night. Oh, man, I've got tons of verses. Write that down. I'm not going to read it. Isaiah 45, verse 5 to 7. You read it at home. James chapter 4, verse 14 to 17. I'm going to read that. It says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say, if the Lord wants. I remember when we were growing up, it's like every people had the perspective, God's willing. Okay, I'm going to do this, God's willing. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this. Do you have tomorrow? Oh, yeah, next week we're going to go to North Carolina. Well, what about God's willing? Acknowledging, you know what? God knows it. I don't know them all, but today, right now, God's willing. God's willing, I'll do this. This is the word of God. When you talk otherwise, when you do it like that, you're boasting about your own plan. And all such boasting is evil. And remember, it is sin to do, to know what you ought to do, and then do not do it. Here's another question. What is sin? Sometimes people struggle to figure out, well, what is sin? Is this sin? Anything you ought to do, you know you ought to do. You don't do it. There's your answer. It is sin, James chapter 4, verse 17, the last part of verse 17. It is sin to know you ought to do what you ought to do and then do not do it. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So homework, I give you a lot of verse. Read Luke chapter 21. Read Matthew chapter 24. Read Mark chapter 13, homework. And I'm not going to ask you next week if you do it. It's between you and the Lord. How's that? It's God's exam. Oh, I love it. The Holy Spirit is the professor. He'll check your homework. He's going to reveal to you many good things. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7, it says, seek the prosperity of the city to which I have sent you as exiles. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for it prospers. If it prospers, you will prosper. I said earlier, 100% of the evil things that are happening on this earth is man's result. Because corruption is man's invention. Kids being born out of wedlock is a human activity. It's not God's. Racism. Oh, my goodness. That's so wrong. We all created in God's image. It's not right for anybody to try to dominate or own anybody. You all know it. If you guys know the history of Haiti, I mean, I love the history of America as well. But growing up, God set me free from that. I didn't used to like people that were a different color than me, especially in the schooling in Haiti. I had a teacher who really hated white people, and then he would teach us, and the history of Haiti. The slaves came from Africa, and it was French and Spanish and German that were the slave owners. And then 1804, there's a big fight, and the slaves kind of killed everybody, burned everything. And 1804, January 1st, they got their independence. So this mindset, people grew up like decades, hundreds of decades later, thinking, well, maybe this white person might still be a slave owner. He's just evil. So here I am, growing up. The church I was going to had white people missionaries coming to it. I mean, every time I see them, I mean, I'm praising the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. I see a white person. So that's why I'm saying, nobody, don't tell me you don't know anything about, don't tell me I don't know anything about racism because I didn't grow up in Haiti. It's still in Haiti, just like here. Because in Haiti, you've got the three different colors in black. You got dark blue, a little lighter than dark, and then you've got my color, and then you've got my kid's color. And then white. So right there, in a black country, you have four different blacks. And then you have classes. I mean, when we went to the seminar for the refugees, Afghan refugees, the same thing. White people have racist, I mean, they're racist towards white people. It's evil. It's evil in men's heart that creates it. We all created in God's image. But I tell you, I remember when God set me free from that through the word of the Lord. And God gave me his identity. I'm a rock. Nobody can put me down. Or if you don't like me, that would be your problem. Because if you don't like yourself, you won't like anybody. Hurt people, hurt people. But I tell you, when you love, when you're in love with yourself, when you receive that revelation, when I say in love with yourself, I'm talking about God's perspective. When you understand your identity is from the Lord, God created you wonderfully, perfect. I mean, God created me perfect. I don't want to look like anybody else. Oh, man, I love me. But I'm not worshiping me, okay? Understand what I'm saying. Nobody should bring you down. Nobody should tell you you're ugly, you fat, you know, you're not pretty enough, you're not tall enough, or you're too tall, you're too short. Nobody shouldn't do that to you. That's why we read the Bible. And you know, God has a good sense of humor. He gave me a white woman for my wife. You know? That's how he does it. To show us we all bleed red. At the end of the day, we all rotten. And we all have the same skeleton. We all look alike. Once we're dead. Oh, I thank God for his word. And that's why I tell you, I told you a couple weeks ago, I could spend the rest of the year asking this question, will we be ready? And before we end up today, I want to finish with three questions. You know, when you're going to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those chapters this week, and there are five things you should look, I want you to look for in those chapters. Number one is, when you read those chapters, you're going to see Jesus is telling his disciples to watch. At the end time, keep watch. Number two, he says to wait. Number three, he says to walk. Don't stand. Number four says to work. And then number five, you're going to find out, it says to wake up. Matthew chapter 16 says, discern the signs of the time. We are to watch at the unfolding scenario of the end time. Watch the stories of things that are happening. When you listen to the word, to the news, listen to it with a kingdom perspective. Don't freak out. Okay, all right. Those things they will happen. The word says they will happen. But stand your ground. Matthew 16. Read that for your homework. I'm giving you lots of homework. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Add that on your list of homework stuff you need to read. Matthew 24, verse 42, it says, therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day the Lord will return. Keep watch. As you do your job, as you go to school, you know, some of you young kids going to get ready to go to university, go into college. As you do all that, keep watch. Keep watch. Psalm 94, verse 4, it says, 1,000 years in your sight, Lord, is like a day that has just begun. Keep watch. Sometimes you think, man, 95 years, 100 years, that's a lot of years. This verse, when I read it this week, it's like, I said, Lord, thank you for patience. You know, some of us, we like to get it done. You know, or we don't have patience with people. And God says, you know what? It's like, remember, a day to me is like a split second. 1,000 years is like not short at all. Oh, man. Micah chapter 7, verse 7 says, but as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God, my salvation. My God will hear me. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause division and put obstacle in your ways. Watch for people who cause division. Watch for them. If you have somebody in your life that's just toxic, talking about your friends, talking about other friends, stay away from those people. You make a bold choice. You know what? It's like, why are you always talking about people? Watch for those people. Watch for news. There are news outlets out there that is just toxic, just always negative. 1 Corinthians 16, 13 says, be on your guard. Stand firm in faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Don't bring condemnation. But go to them. Talk about it. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Then he said to them, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in any abundance of possession. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Be on your guard. Watch against all kinds of greed, especially as we wait on the day of the Lord. Watch for greed. Be careful. If the Lord gives you all you need, thank him. Don't be greedy. It's easy. Be content. Thank God. You plan, but the outcome is his. Wait. Jesus is coming. First John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, behold, what manner of love Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And I'm going to end with this. Know that you are sons and daughters of the living God. You know it. You know something I thank God for? Is that in this house, you guys love God. Can I have a witness? How many lovers of the Lord we have here? We sing it earlier. Hallelujah. Lover of my soul. Lover of my soul. Guys, keep watch. Will you be ready? I can't answer that for you. But you will be able to. You can answer that question. And I want that question to just, you hear that little voice in your heart, in your head. Will I be ready? Yes. Will you be ready? Every day, every action, everything you do, make sure you are on track as the return of the Lord gets closer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning as I ask the worship team to come up. Lord, thank you for your word today. Father, we cannot hide our hearts and our feelings and where we at spiritually. And Father, we accept your word today. I planted your seeds. I ask in Jesus' name that you would make it grow. Lord, I ask, Father, these words would fall in good ground today. And they would produce good fruit. Fruit that would remain in Jesus' name. And if any, not this morning, if any of you needs prayer, if any of you needs to come to the altar or repent, and if you're watching online and you need to give your life to the Lord this morning, I'll encourage you. Take this opportunity to invite the Lord in your heart. Thank you, Lord.